Spirit Catholic Radio presents Holiness Helpers. Join members of the Pro-Sanctity Movement of Omaha in growing in holiness to become saints in the making. Now, Holiness Helpers.
This Holiness Helpers radio program is offered as a part of the Pro-Sanctity Movement. The Pro-Sanctity Movement is an international movement in the Church dedicated to spreading the universal call to holiness. The Pro-Sanctity Movement was founded in Italy in 1947 by Bishop Jacquinta and is comprised of lay people, consecrated people, and priests. The apostolate includes retreats, summer camp for girls, college and young adult ministry, parish work, secular jobs, spiritual direction, and family formation. The work of the Pro-Sanctity Movement is led by the Apostolic Oblates belonging to the Secular Institute of the Apostolic Oblates Consecrated to Redemptive Love. A secular institute is a form of consecrated life in the Catholic Church. Members are in the world, but not of the world. Secular institutes are called to be like leaven, hidden, transforming the world from within. For more information about Pro-Sanctity, please go to our website at prosanctity.org. I'd like to begin our program now with a prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, Spirit of love and holiness, you who overshadowed Mary, making her mother of the eternal word, dwell in us and make us apostles of holiness. Mm-hmm. I'm Lisa Lindsay. I'm your guest moderator today, and I have with me Teresa Monahan. Mm-hmm. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Teresa Monahan, Pro-Sanctity Movement. National Director of the Movement in the United States and Local Director here in the Archdiocese of Omaha.
You sound like you get a lot of experience introducing yourself. So
sometimes I don't even recognize who that person is.
That is you.
Who are they talking
about?
Well,
we do. All of us at Pro-Sanctity and many people around town know about you, but we're here today and we're going to talk about the celebration of the universal call to holiness, which we celebrate on All Saints Day.
That's right. It's of course it's in the liturgical calendar. We're not talking about anything new, absolutely new. This year, 2010, the feast of All Saints Day will not be what they call a day of obligation, but in reality the theme of what All Saints Day represents is an obligation. And that's what Pro-Sanctity wants to promote, the obligation to be a saint. It's an obligation of love. And we're all invited to that obligation, not coerced, not going to be banged over the head by a Pro-Sanctity member if you don't become a saint like today, but that we all be aware that the only appropriate response to the Lord is to respond in love and to the fullness of our capacity in union with all the saints and angels who have gone before us. In other words, we want to respond to the love that we have received through the Lord in the spirit of the saints. So on November 1st, our founder, Bishop Guglielmo Jacquinta, or William Jacquinta in English, he conceived that there needed to be a day. And at first he wasn't thinking of November 1st, but just maybe set aside a day where we would all look at how we are all sanctified by the redemptive love of the Lord. That was his first inspiration. How do we assist one another to be aware of that at all times? So we're responding to like love, love for love. God has loved us unconditionally. We respond with our maximum. The maximum could be a small little thimbleful of our self-gift, or it could be a full tumbler. I've got a tumbler in front of me, tumbler full of self-gift. But it doesn't matter how little or big. Big S, little S, as we call it, sometimes refer to the saints. But it matters that we respond to the fullness of our capacity. So on the Feast of All Saints Day, November 1st, the liturgy is designed to remind us of this. And so the founder said, well, why not November 1st? Let's celebrate on November 1st because everybody is destined to participate in the holiness of the Lord. We're all to respond to that holiness to be other Christ. And when he conceived of that, he said, well, this is a beautiful message, but most people are going to say, are you kidding? Me, a saint?
Me?
Oh, you can be a saint. I hear that. I still hear that almost every day. Oh, you can be a saint. And if they're not saying it out loud, They're saying it. You can see this little marquee that goes across their head. Oh, I can't be a saint. She can be a saint, but I can't be a saint.
I'm married. I can't be a saint. Or I'm just a kid. I can't be a saint.
Exactly.
All kinds of reasons.
Exactly. So we need to really proclaim it in a way and also to pray with it, because we can proclaim it till we're blue in the face, and we will. That's the Prosanctity's destination. You know, we will proclaim the universal call to holiness, that we're all called to be holy, to be as holy as our Heavenly Father is holy, that the will of God is our sanctification. Matthew 5:48, First Thessalonians chapter 4, we are called to be holy as our Heavenly Father is holy, 5:48 in Matthew. In that sense, people can say, oh yeah, that's what it says, you're right. But ultimately, we don't believe that we can really be, you know, to the fullness. We do desire it, and yes, we love to look at the saints, and probably more than ever before, and the recent statistics of saint watchers out there, there are more and more people interested in holiness, more and more people reading books about the saints, more and more people coming to conferences that have to do with the saints. Father Lombardi from Rome said that there was a phenomenal amount of people that came to the recent canonizations of the last six that the Pope Benedict canonized just this last month. There was a phenomenal number for September 25th, when Carolucci Badano was beatified. Phenomenal, young and old. Mm. But we still keep separate someplace in our mind, in our heart. And so the point is, yes, we know it, but we need to be converted to holiness. Right. So that's really the goal of the Prosanctity, for encouraging our parishes, our dioceses, our individual members, our friends, to be converted to holiness, and myself included. We are all called to a conversion of heart that says, I don't know what it's exactly going to look like. I'm not going to look like a Mother Teresa, or I'm not going to look like, you know, a St. Paul, but I'm going to look like Teresa Monahan, called to be holy, yeah, and striving to live it to the fullest of her capacity. And you will be Lisa Lindsay, trying to live it to the fullness of your capacity as a married woman, as a mother myself, as a consecrated woman, as a spiritual mother. You know, we both have different roles, but we're both called to the same holiness.
And I love the Prosanctity. It is here to help us to learn how to live that out. Because once we do get that idea in our head, well, maybe I could be a saint. How do I begin? And this Prosanctity is here to teach us the different methods and different ways that we can begin to become. Well, we're not going to do it ourselves.
Right.
We don't do God.
As St. Therese would say in kids' language, we don't do nothing by ourselves.
No.
She didn't say exactly like that. But we don't do it. And one of the reasons on November 1st, you know, why November 1st? Well, we celebrate All Saints, but we also pray in that Mass, in that liturgy, we pray for the holiness of all people. And we are transformed on the altar. When the bread and wine are offered, so is our desire to respond to God's call in our lives out of love. Not out of, I want to be a saint with a big S so everybody comes to my canonization.
I don't know any saints like that.
That's right. Exactly the point.
Right.
There are no saints that wanted to be canonized. But out of, how can we not love the Father who has loved us so unconditionally? How can we not be in love with Jesus who has loved us so completely? How can we not respond to the gifts and graces that have been poured into us through the power of the Holy Spirit? How can we not hear, you know, Mary's invitation to do whatever he tells us? This is the life of the saint. So it's we don't want to give the impression that we're just the get the best costume you can. It's just been Halloween. Now we're going to put on our saint costume. No, it's a full, complete transformation. And we're not ashamed to say we're saints in the making. And we may never see results like we think we would want to. You know, I want to see that I'm growing in virtue and that I do everything right and I never have to go to confession. And no.
Are you reading my mind?
Does that make sense, Lisa? Am I saying things that are, you know, clear?
I think so.
Yeah.
With clarity.
So on this day, on November 1st, we commemorate the lives of the many people who lived out that invitation of the Lord to be perfect, as my Heavenly Father is perfect. That's from Matthew. And also to love one another as I have loved you. That's John 15. Jesus himself says, you know, that there's no greater love than this, than to lay down your life for your friends. And I call you friends. And that we are to love one another as the Lord has loved us. So it's loving the Lord in response to his love for us and loving one another in the manner with which we have been loved. We love others in that same manner, to the nth degree, laying down our lives for our friends.
And we can all do that in our state in life. It doesn't matter whether I'm married and I don't have to go away to another place and another country. Right. And I can do that right in my own home.
Yeah, the first thing is we want to do something. The first natural inclination is to do something heroic.
Something big.
Yeah, that's right. When young people come for discernment or a little spiritual direction, that's the first thing they'll tell me. I just have this desire to go to the missions. And it's a good experience. I would never put that down. That's a wonderful experience. But they come back and realize that their mission is at home and that the mission isn't really about what you do. It's about who you are and how you relate to every other person that comes into your, you know, your atmosphere, into your environment, into your home, into your life. That's where holiness really begins. I can go out and do nice things. Like, didn't this happen with your children or maybe yourself where your mother would say, you know, she's so nice at other people's homes, but when she comes back home... She lays around. She doesn't clean her room. I think I'm quoting my mother. It's always easy to be holy outside the home, but we're really called to that holiness in daily life at every moment, inside and outside the home. And that takes a personal, deep commitment that needs to be sustained through prayer, support. Again, why a movement and why parishes that are committed to the holiness of their parishioners and diocese the same is because we help each other to get there. Yes. We help each other to make that kind of response. We encourage one another and inspire one another. We also are inspired by the canonized and the beatified and the venerable. So on this day, when we commemorate those lives of many people who lived this invitation, we see that it is possible that a Gianna Beretta Mola, a married woman with children, became a great saint, the last canonized saint of Pope John Paul II, not because she gave her life consciously for her child in the end. That's not what made her a saint. What made her a saint was that every day she lived as a mother would, loving her husband, responding to the needs of her children, looking beyond her own needs in order to lay down her life for her family, which in the end, the Lord invited her to receive that invitation, and she took it up. She said, try to save us both. Her child in her womb was in danger, and so was she. She said, save us both. But if you have to take somebody, take me. And even though they tried to talk her out of it, that's her deepest response was, God's will be done. And God wills that I lay down my life for my child. And she did. Beautiful, beautiful. Conscious immolation.
So inspiring.
Very inspiring. Mm. And so when we look at that, what made her able or capable of that maximum response? Her daily life of commitment, living faithfully her life as a wife and a mother, a doctor. She was a doctor, pediatrician. She gave her life in simplicity every day to Jesus. She loved our Blessed Mother. She did little pilgrimages when she was a child, and she continued that practice as an older person. She was at service of the community. She was a doctor, but she was always out there ready and willing to give her gift of medical gift to others. And she loved her children and she loved her husband. I mean, it was a love affair to the last day. It was just beautiful and continues to be a beautiful gift to us to see this is what married life looks like when you say we're called to be holy. And the children were at her canonization and her beatification. And so was her husband at both. He just died a couple years ago. So that's one example. And then we have children. We have Jacinta, for example, and Francisco of the Children of Our Lady of Fatima. They were not canonized. They were not because of their, because they did great things or because they saw Our Lady, but because they were faithful, unconditionally faithful to what Our Lady asked them to do. Even when everybody said, you're out of your mind, you shouldn't be doing these things, you know, you didn't see Mary. I mean, who do you think you are? I mean, they were beaten. They were, all kinds of horrific things happened to them. They were separated. They had illness. But in simplicity, and commitment, their response was to be faithful to what the Lord had asked them through Mary, to pray, to offer their lives, to be attentive to the needs of others. Their life of charity, their life of faith, their life of hope, and their life of love were to the fullness as children, as children can be. Yes. Fullness as children, not as adults. And Pope John Paul II said, they prove that children can be saints.
Yes.
So we're celebrating on November 1st. This is a child, examples from children and examples from married life. And of course, the consecrated life, we have so many examples. Sure. And people have complained that there were not enough of the other examples. Well, now there's a plethora. I have read it so many times. Well, oh yeah, you could be saved if you go away into a convent live community life. Well, I'm a member of a secular institute, but we do have community life, and it ain't easy.
I would say, I would think to myself that community life would be very tough.
It's like being married.
Yes,
it's
sure.
Like, you know,
your
I mean,
family members
oh,
and
sure,
people around
sure.
us like you have at home.
It was St. Bernard who said that community life is either your hell or your heaven.
Yeah.
I'd say every day it's a little bit of both, you know.
Well,
but it's a joy. It's a yes. joy in that it's real. You know, it's real. We're not talking about some sort of extraordinary life that everything is easy, because then that wouldn't be a response of love.
Well, and so you're saying, it sounds to me that wherever we are in our state of life, we have the circumstances and situation to become holy.
Yeah.
We have to begin. We serve. We pray. We listen.
Mm-hmm.
We have to listen and hear what the Lord is saying to us. And you talked about retreats and all. There are a lot of ways that we begin to walk along
a daily interior life that includes, you know, annual retreats, a monthly. I married or single or young or old, just to take a little time every month for oneself to review where you've been, where you are now, and where the Lord is calling you. A pause every day before the Eucharist, a reception of the Eucharist as often as possible. This is the food of the saints. You know, this is what makes us by receiving these gifts. And we can go to hell having gone to communion if we're not responding properly, or we're doing it for some reason magical reason. No, this is what strengthens us, gives us the grace of conversion of heart, so that we might conform ourselves more fully to Christ. And we respond as Christ, in Christ. I can't love that person. I can't do anything. But in Christ, I can, because it's Christ in me. As St. Paul already witnessed to us, it's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. And I can't do some of the heroic things that are out there, but Christ can. Or as St. Teresa, the little flower of Lisieux, said, I can't love that sister who's driving me crazy. So Jesus, you have to love her in me and through me, you know. What a beautiful.
It's so beautiful. But
we have to let go, and we have to let God work through us, and we have to be in union and communion. So that's what you're hinting at, is that interior life is what gives us the gift of Jesus, gives us the capacity to receive the grace when we need it.
Well, and I think you have to have faith. I've been in my prayer group that I go to, we're talking about the movements of the spirits and discerning. And one of the things we talked about, there was a story about a young man, and he wanted to commune with God out in nature and forget about Mass and the sacraments.
Oh, I've heard that before. Especially in the 70s, but it still comes up.
I think people need to know there's a lot going on at Mass, and a lot through the sacraments that maybe we don't see on our surface, but it's there. Yeah. So we need to be faithful to those things. And it's not the singing at the Mass. It's not the temperament of the priest who might be there acting in persona Christi. It's not, you know, the person sitting next to you, the baby crying behind you. There's so much happening beneath the surface, and we need to be there. It helps us on this journey of holiness.
And if we're united with the Lord, a good Mass, meaning the way we like it, or a bad Mass, the way we don't like it, you know, I mean, it really, the Mass is the Mass. The Holy Mass is the offering of the Lord to the Father, to whom and with whom we unite ourselves. And so at every Mass, regardless of all the little extraneous distractions or lack of, you know, a quiet Mass where you're just totally centered and everything's just beautiful, it's still the same Mass.
Yes.
And it's there that we receive the body of Christ, and we become one in that body. We become in union and communion, and we grow in union and love for the Lord, who gives himself to us, who invites us to give ourselves as unconditionally as he gave himself. Pier Giorgio Frassati, blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati, a young adult man. I haven't mentioned a male yet. He was a beautiful young man. We've talked about him before here and there on the radio. But one thing he said at age probably 22, 23, he said, "How can I receive the communion, Jesus, in the body, in the bread and the wine, the body and blood of Jesus, and not become Jesus for others and give myself to the needs around me, especially in his calling to the poor and to those who are sick?" He died of polio at age 27 that he had contracted by from an elderly woman who he was bringing food, clothing, and medicine to. He died within a week, but he didn't regret it. In fact, the Holy Father, Pope John Paul II, called him the man of eight beatitudes, the young man of eight beatitudes. He was Eucharist. He became Eucharist to those people that he served. His parents didn't know anything about it. His friends were in awe and followed after him. But he received Jesus. He became Jesus. He gave himself in the same manner with which Jesus gave himself. This is what we're celebrating on November 1st. This is the celebration of the universal call to holiness. Children, young adults, married, single, old, young. I was at the conference the other day for high school people. And they said, "Well, it seems like they all died young." And I said, "Well, not really. St. Vincent de Paul, St. Francis de Sales, St. Jane de Chantal." I mean, went down the whole list of saints at all in their late 70s or 80s. Mm-hmm. Great. And yes, that's also difficult. That is also very difficult. Jane de Chantal, who is the co-founder of the Visitation Sisters and the best friend of Francis de Sales, she lived another 20 years beyond Francis de Sales. And she had to carry on all the things he started but died, and she had to do it. That's what made her a saint, because she lived on to be an older woman. I think she died in her time frame. Probably, I think it was like her late 70s, in her late 70s.
There you go. Saints making saints. Exactly. And that's why we have the celebration on All Saints Day, right? Of the celebration of the universal call to holiness that day.
And we know that in the church, that it's why do we need a saint day like November 1st? And why do we need to proclaim that the call to holiness is universal? We need to do it because it has been the call of the Lord. And throughout the history of the church, we have been invited to remember that we are all called. And Vatican II said, okay, in case you didn't get it, chapter 5 of Lumen Gentium of Vatican II, that we're all called to the universal call to holiness, to strive for the perfection of charity. And that on this day, said the church, all must live it as a point of departure of their lives for an authentic Christianity and striving towards responsiveness to Christ, to perfection. And we'll pray and we'll offer on that day that we might join the saints.
All right, Teresa, as some final housekeeping items that we have here, let's talk about that day, because that's coming up November 1st, right? That's going to be at St. Margaret Mary Church, which is right off of 61st and Dodge, from 7 to 9 p.m. Is that right?
In this archdiocese, now remember, Prosanctity's...
In the Omaha Archdiocese,
Archdiocese, we will be celebrating, and everyone's welcome. Please come from the other diocese in our area, or join us in spirit, and maybe even encourage somebody in your own church or parish to do something like this. But we offer a beautiful holy hour. It's not a day of obligation, and we want to still honor that day, the All Saints Day on November 1st. So it's a beautiful holy hour with music and prayers before the Blessed Sacrament, exposed Blessed Sacrament. Archbishop George Lucas, our new archbishop, will be celebrating that holy hour and then leading us in a reflection, an extended homily during that evening. While they are upstairs in the church, the children will be having a little festival of faith, a little saint party.
Oh, thankfully.
And we were supposed to have a saint party out at our place in Elkhorn, Nebraska, but our 18,000 square foot barn burned down, and so there's no place for that. But we decided we would just bring it to Omaha, from Elkhorn to Omaha. Okay. And we were going to have a little party anyway. The Archbishop will receive all of us, the children included, at the close of the Holy Hour for benediction, a blessing. And then we'll all be joining for refreshments and a little presentation on ongoing activities of the ProSanctity. If you're interested in our famous barn fire, we're going to do a little update on that, what happened and what we hope and dream to do for holiness in this archdiocese and in the central states, because really we have been serving much beyond the Archdiocese of Omaha. So we're at service of everyone, and so we hope everybody can hear what our desires are. So we are all called to be holy. We are going to celebrate it that night with the Archbishop. You are most welcome, 7 to 9 p.m., St. Margaret Mary's, 61st and Dodge Street. If you need a landmark, it's right across the street from UNO, University of Nebraska, Omaha.
November 1st. So we look forward to seeing everybody there. And thanks so much. This has been great talking about this today, Teresa. And as always, if you want to know more information about ProSanctity, please go to our website, which is prosanctity.org. Finally, let's close with a prayer. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do, it's an excerpt from the ProSanctity prayer.
Please.
Jesus, divine master, who came down from heaven, give us the desire to be heroic in every virtue and the trust to attain holiness with the help of Mary, your mother and our mother. Amen. Yeah.
Thank you, Lisa. God bless you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Holiness Helpers on Spirit Catholic Radio. To find out more about the ProSanctity movement, visit their website, www.prosanctity.org.
The ProSanctity motto, Tutti Santi, Tutti Fratelli, all saints, all brothers and sisters.